The whole camp was awake by then, and that must have spooked the neighboring coyotes. They were howling from all over. Lisa, in her bathrobe, scurried to the kitchen area. Rennie, already dressed, helped her. Tad joined them. Both the boys and Eddie were washing dishes left undone from the night before. Salty and Cody set their two prisoners on the ground, on their butts, back to back, and chained them that way.
More about them later. I want to see the treasure of the other world.
Grab a lamp. This mountain is tied somehow to a ruby find some guy made years ago. Billy Bob made a deal with him for a map. He's crippled and could never come back up here. Billy Bob found a small opening. It looks like a long time ago, the front of the cave collapsed. That's why we searched for a way in from the back. Some drilling blasting got a hole the kids could slip through, and we found the main portion of the cave.
Salty held the lamp in the widened opening. Chet caught his sleeve.
There's a good 10-foot drop.
Yeah, I can see it. Is it all full of loot?
Adam and Rennie say it is. They were the first to see it.
Cody looked in next.
My heavens, Chet. There's a fortune in here.
Easily. Now, getting in and out of there and back to Prescott and staying alive is what will count.
A smile swept Salty's face as the sun began to rise behind their backs.
I bet you have a plan.
20 wagons? A couple water wagons? There's not enough water around it to get that many horses and men up here. There must have been more water when the Spaniards were in operation here.
Yeah, I wondered about that myself. Pretty dry country.
Sounds like they have breakfast ready. We can talk more after that.
Hold on. Those two guys were all we found. They say they found the Meadows family's bodies and told us what they did about it. You're gonna be shocked if it's the truth.
I want to hear it, but let's eat first.
With a stern warning that any wrong move and they'd be dead, Salty unchained the prisoners. They quickly agreed. One looked to be 40 with gray hair and whiskers. Salty called him Frank Mays. The other one was red-faced, younger, plus had a nasty look to his bloodshot eyes. He went by Lucifer Cry. After breakfast, Lisa and the kids took off riding and exploring.
All right, boys. Talk.
We went over to see the Meadowses about something and found them all dead. Right off, talking among ourselves, we decided if we buried them, then everyone would think we killed them. It was a sickening sight. I never saw the like in my life.
Who do you think killed them?
Why, Injuns, of course. They scalped them.
No one told us that.
You know why?
No, you're making that up.
No, I'm not. You ever hear about the slaughter of the Fancher wagon train?
Yeah, what's that got to do with this?
Well, if it was Indians killed the Meadows family, they'd be liable to send the army down here, and they might have some of those warrants left from the Fancher train massacre.
That happened a real long time ago.
They don't throw murder warrants away.
And you think the LDS people hid the fact that they were scalped from the authorities?
They never mentioned it, did they?
You're right.
Chet looked across the table at Jamie Meadows, silent all this time and probably in agony hearing all of this.
Where's the tough guy that used to be the lead of all of you?
Fallon?
I never caught his real name.
Floyd Fallon was what I heard was his real name. Vigilantes hung him and two more over in Nevada last winter. They were riding the wrong horses.
You both wanted?
Yeah.
Me too.
What are the crimes?
Killing a guy who raped my wife back east. They said I couldn't prove it. Oh, hellfire. She told me he did it to her before she died. I warrant them damn Injuns raped Mrs. Meadows, too.
Bastard I killed raped my teenage sister. They said when I chopped him to small pieces with an axe that it was murder.
That's all that's left of the gang?
Cody gave a head toss toward them.
There's four women in their camp. Three kids.
They have food?
Cody and I shot them a deer before we left.
All right. You two men are on my payroll. It's all a secret. But you do it right, I'll pay you for your work and beyond. That all right?
Damn right. Neither of us killed them. Injuns did.
Remember, I can kill you in the blink of an eye.
Yes, sir.
Eat.
Chet stood up and he walked away from the table, followed by his men.
Now, how do we get the treasure out of that hole?
We need some track and ties. Wait, there is a minecart up at the Joseph Lake store. I saw it lying on its side.
Where will we find track?
We can make wooden tracks. 50 trips won't wear out wood that fast. There has to be a sawmill somewhere up here.
Agreed. Now we send a wire to Tom at Camp Verde to send us 40 wagons, two water wagons, armed men, and plenty of supplies.
We can meet them at Joseph Lake as soon as they can get there.
Where do we wire him from?
I'd say Kanab up in Utah. We need to bring some wagons here while we wait. A water wagon would be nice if we can find one. Put on your trading hats. Salty, were you with Cole last time?
No, I was on my honeymoon. But I do recall that they didn't have a water wagon at the store. We bought it in Kanab, Utah.
If they don't have a working telegraph in Kanab, you'll need to go down to Little Colorado Crossing and maybe even Flagstaff.
Can you hold this place down with the both of us gone?
Jesus, Billy Bob, Tad and I can. Few know we have this much treasure, but word'll get out fast.
What about that minecart?
A couple of us may ride out with you two and trade for it. Haul it back here on something. What a damn mess.
When Lisa and the kids came back, he told her the plan. She told them good luck, and the four rode to Joseph Lake. It was farther than Chet thought to Joseph Lake. Rory gave them the mine cart. They loaded it onto a hauler's wagon. Billy Bob and the kids led him westward. The store man said the telegraph in Kanab, Utah was working. Chet sent Cody and Salty up there to make arrangements and to stay there until Tom wired back he knew what they wanted. Then they were to look for a water wagon or a wagon filled with watertight barrels and a supply wagon. Rory knew a man who needed work and would haul the water out to them. Plus, the guy who left with the cart would haul whatever they needed from the store to their site. Things were going too good. They didn't get back to the site before sundown. Chet guessed the kid spent the day ahead of him getting the wagon hauling the heavy cart unstuck from the loose, sandy, dry washes they had to cross 100 times on the route. The driver, Jasper Andrews, could not believe they were Chet's children.
Why, them scutters bailed in every time like beavers building a dam to get me going.
We got him moving every time. No big deal.
Do you think those other two got a wire off?
If that line worked, I bet Tom already knows.
Good. I thought Prescott was a bad place to have to live.
She looked around the desert camp.
This one beats all of them.
Why, Rennie? You don't like this place?
Chet, I have so much sand behind my molars, I may never get it all out.
Jasper, I'd like to send you after a wagon load of lumber next.
Mr. Burns, they'll charge you a fortune for it.
Chet, please. No matter. Tomorrow, I'll give you the list of what we need. But I'll need those boards. Those heavy iron boxes weigh a ton. We need a flat car to haul them out on.
You got it.
You getting boards to make a box?
Are you enough of a carpenter to do that?
Me and Rocky, with a hammer and a cold chisel, can get it off.
Yes, sir.
Good. One last thing for me to worry about. We can pack those trunks and containers onto a flat car, then pull it up and out the back door, and into the wagons for removal to our ranch.
Those boys going to strip the body off the mine car?
They may need some help, but we have time before the wagons get here, even if they hurry.
I'll help if they need it.
Thanks. I want them to do all they can. It builds confidence in them.
Right. Well, my dad would say, try it, son. That's how I learned.
That's sure the right way to learn.
He saw Lisa was coming over with Rennie.
Can we get in the mountain and see some of the treasures?
We have a ladder, and you will need some lights. Be watchful of snakes. We've not seen any so far, but they may crawl in there in the heat of the day.
We can avoid snakes.
I'll go get us 2 lamps.
That'll be great. With this heat, Rennie says she can appreciate Prescott's climate much better.
I agree.
The wagon man, Jasper Andrews, has gone back for lumber?
That's the plan.
The three started via the ladder into the cavern. When Lisa got down, he lowered her a lit lamp, then one for Rennie. He came down in a hurry. A little polish on a coin he picked up from the top of the bin, and the features popped out on the face like it had been freshly minted.
This is amazing. They have been here for 200 years and polish up easier than a new one.
Rennie, any gold or silver is amazing.
But this is mostly coins. How did they make so many coins this far from a mint?
Good question, Rennie. I never thought about that. Why, we couldn't melt gold alone out here, much less make coins.
Or even have a place to spend it. Lots of this is spending money. Not near as much of the first batch you found in the canyon was money. Why so?
Lisa, these folks have been dead for over 200 years. They can't tell us. And unless we find their account books, we may never know.
Nice of them to leave it for us.
She leaned up to kiss her husband.
I agree.
May I ask you a question?
Sure. What is it?
I am sorry to have to ask, but I never lived in a house before where the two people who were married kiss as often as you two do. I don't mind. In fact, I think it is sweet. But I wondered why and maybe how it would happen.
You have a good answer for her?
Well, I'm not sure. We both had happy lives and lost someone we loved. So I guess we consider ourselves lucky to have someone again, and we show our affection to this pairing.
That sums it up.
If I ever find a mate, I hope it works out this well. You two don't argue. You are thoughtful and good to each other, and to me, too.
Oh, I bet you'll find someone grateful for you being yourself.
I don't consider myself wild, but I appreciate the opportunity to be myself. I would never have been allowed to ride that horse at the fairgrounds in my past life. After it happened, I knew I made a step up in my life, and you two gave me that boost because you trusted me. I am very grateful for the chance. And those boys could have said, no, she is a girl. She doesn't need a ride. I never had any brothers or sisters. I was concerned they'd be mad about me sharing their time. But instead, they were my boosters and never put me down.
Rennie, I'd say you were as big a treat to both of us as finding this king's ransom.
And I feel the same way. You are making me cry. This money is nice, but being a part of your family has lifted me up so high into the clouds we have at home. And to think I felt locked in a prison having to live in Prescott before you two came and got me.
Lisa and I are proud of the boys and how they treat you. Both of them have lived with foster parents as only children because of my busy life.
They are enjoying this trip so much. You can hear them banging on that miner's car. You will have a flat car by dark. Both of them think they are you, Chet.
Rennie hugged him and then pulled him down and pecked on his cheek.
I am going to do that too.
Andrews brought the first load of lumber and showed him how much they'd overcharged him for the load.
Price won't matter if we get all the loads out. They cutting the rest?
Damn right. I'll have the second load here day after tomorrow. They'll have it to load at daylight.
Don't you figure it's worth something?
What you mean?
I mean, they are cutting it fast.
Yeah, but the price they're charging you is too high.
Eat supper with us. You'll have time to get back.
Aw, you don't have time to feed me.
Lisa took his arm by the elbow.
I do. Now, if you could find me a tall post, a large sheet of canvas, and a fat yearling steer, my boys would butcher it, and I could keep meat fresh for 4 days. So when my other men get here, I'd have food on hand.
I can get 2 posts and a crossbeam on the next load and the canvas at the store. I'll have to bring the steer on the next day.
Andrews, you are a genius.
I've been called lots of things, Mrs., but never that.
He snatched off his weather-beaten old felt hat.
I am proud to be part of this operation.
We're proud to have you.
Chet had become concerned. They were going on day 4, and there was no sign of his 2 men coming back. He'd hired the waterman, Casey Boyd, to fill the barrels, so there was water for their horses and people. They were doing fine. Chet ordered 4 more posts. The man set them to make a platform for a 2-barrel sheep herder shower he bought at the store. It was set up, plumbed, and ready to use after the sun warmed it for 2 days. Meanwhile, he and all the hands were carefully building a stout trestle inside the cave to run the flatbed cart on wooden tracks over the hump to the outside dock. Then they'd load them into wagons. After supper the next evening, the 2 women had the privacy of the shower. They thought it was kind of chilly at first, being behind blankets hung on the south and east sides, but their last word was that the shower was great. The boys were next. Then they refilled the barrels and the men took their turns. All enjoyed it so much they thought they'd been to some great fancy city. At noon the next day, the Lost Scouts came in 1 nice farm wagon. Lisa and Chet walked out to meet them. Chet frowned at the brand spanking new Studebaker wagon and 2 big Belgian mares.
Only one?
No siree. We need to unhitch. The mules and the loaded water wagon are stuck in a sandy wash, and we need these gals to pull them out.
Was Tom excited when you got his message back?
He couldn't hardly believe it.
The mares unhooked. Adam and Rocky came racing on horses to help unstick the mules.
Ma'am, have the men set up your new dining hall tent. There's tables and chairs and a new cook stove for Tad. Some outfit ordered it, and when they couldn't pay for it, we got it for half price.
Well, you boys help them get unstuck. We'll set up the tent.
Did he say Tom didn't believe him?
He did say that.
I'm shocked. As long as Tom has worked for you, and he can't believe you struck it rich twice.
Heaven, girl. Not many people do that in one lifetime.
They were raising the tent when the mules began honking, pulling the water wagon into camp. The boys each led a harnessed mare back with them, Adam reining up next to Chet.
Dad, these mules could pull hell up on the topside. Mares are great, but man, those mules are something to see pulling.
We better leave Hill down there for now.
You'll be impressed. I sure was.
Adam rode off, shaking his head. What next? The new tent shone in the last sunlight as they secured it. Now they had it up, and it would soon be time to leave it all. It made no difference. He needed to spoil all of them. He had not put a price tag on the loot inside the mountain, not even a wild guess. No matter. He'd go on ranching as long as he lived. Where were the rubies? He hadn't even looked. He'd been so busy making the trestle that he'd forgotten all about them. They celebrated completion of it over two Dutch ovens full of peach cobbler that Tad and Lisa had rustled up.
Well, what's next, boss man? In a week or so, we'll pack all this home?
Probably. I found no books in the top of all those chests. Did you?
What I looked at? No. But there's got to be a reason for all this treasure being stored in that bluff.
Maybe the books are under the caved-in roof in the front.
Maybe. Strange. That creeper man in Mesa was only after rubies. It was why he wrote me. He had no idea all this was hidden inside the cavern.
What do you suggest we try?
We dig a trench around these buttes, knee-deep, and look for rubies.
That'll work. It'll be many days before they get the wagons we need up here.
We have a tent, water supply, and shower. Trenching starts tomorrow.
At breakfast, he told them about his wild idea and why he wanted to do it. Everyone agreed it would be interesting. Work was work, so the trenching started at the southeast corner and continued northerly. The first thing they found was a single silver Spanish spur. One of the two men they brought in handed it to Adam. It didn't look like anything of much value, but 20 minutes later, it was shining in the sun. The second spur showed up soon after.
Who dug them up?
I did, sir.
Well, then they're yours, if you're the one that found them.
No. No, thank you, sir.
Mister, those spurs are made of silver, and the rowels are on them. I bet they were made in Spain. You could hawk them for $100 anywhere. And they have been engraved. Ren and I didn't find them. You found them.
I don't...
Mr. Cry, they're yours.
Okay. I will take them. Thank you.
Good.
What was that all about?
Yeah, why wouldn't he take them?
I guess he thought we still suspected him of killing the Meadows family. He's lived all his life being insecure.
What is that?
He never had any place he could stay at.
Oh, that would be bad, wouldn't it?
Chet nodded. He walked over to where Maze and Cry sat on the ground.
Gents, I think tomorrow you should get Cody to take you two in the wagon and go get your families.
They both scurried to their feet and shook his hands. Cody left early with the two on horseback. Jesus went with him, driving the buckboard. Everyone else dug on the trench. It was past lunch when Eldon, the wrangler, jumped back up from his spot.
I found rubies! Oh my God, I found them!
Rennie set down the water pail she used to serve the workers liquid out of a dipper and ran over to him. The stones were in the dirt, and Chet saw his shovel of dry dirt was full of them. Despite the dirt clinging to them, they gleamed scarlet in the too bright sunlight.
Eldon! You have really done it now.
Eldon put down his shovel, then he and Rennie began dancing to celebrate.
Found it!
Oh, easy on my daughter.
It's all right, Dad. I'm as excited as he is.
By the time the crew quit for supper, it was obvious they were in the ring where an explosion had burped up a rain of rubies. No telling what else they'd find. In the morning, the quest was on for more rubies. And by noontime, they had a large ring of dirt turned up and were down 3 or 4 feet deep. The first wagons that Tom sent from the Verde Ranch arrived that day. A tall cowboy in the lead dismounted his horse, took his high crown hat off, and wiped his sweaty face on his sleeve.
Ma'am, you must be the missus. I'm Earl Butler. Tom told me you were very pretty. I'm sure glad to meet up with you at last. It is a long ways up here.
Well, thank you, Earl. That's my husband, Chet, coming there.
Whew. It's about the last jumping off place, isn't it?
We're glad to have you.
Well, Tom said for me to get up here. He had some valuable things needed gathering. Wasn't hard to find your tracks after I made Joseph Lake. All tracks lead out here.
Lisa, I'm going to show them what we're doing. Tell those men to unhitch and relax. They made it to where they were supposed to land. Come with me. Watch yourself and duck your head. This bridge is low.
Oh, you've made this ramp very recently. I can smell the pine.
Yes, we've been busy. We didn't want the mountain to collapse. This entrance is low. We use a ladder here to go inside.
Big cave. Really echoes, doesn't it?
Yes, these trunks were the first thing we saw.
Oh my God. Are they all full like this?
Yes. We load that flatbed mine cart, built that ramp, and pushed it out so we can load the wagons.
Well, how in the hell did a cowman ever figure that out?
We would have faced a lot of pickup and carry, so we figured it out.
Hell, I've been talking to Tom about finding me work. He got me up one morning before daylight and said he had a job for me. I never expected this. He said, my boss must have a real find up there. He needs 40 wagons to bring it home.
We have hay coming down for all the horse stock. We import water, too.
I saw the water wagon when I drove up. And you simply found all this? And now Ruby's on the outside?
Yes, well, I have laid out some cash to assemble it all.
I'm sorry to be so damn nosy. You put a value in all this?
No, I really have tried not to. I've been so busy building that trestle and getting what I needed set up.
Oh, you have done one hell of a job. I reckon we should load those wagons and haul it down to Prescott. That'll be slow going.
Dangerous, too, if the word gets out about what we're hauling.
Yeah, but I have some damn tough men with me. We'll deliver it. Mr. Tanner will be set up to handle it there at the bank. Tom has more wagons coming after me.
Earl, it has been a trying deal. But I figure we'll all make it with all of us trying so hard.
Hell yes.
They went down to camp. Four suntanned young men were waiting to see Chet.
Mr. Burns, sir, I brought 4 racks of hay. My dad, Greenville Houston, said to see when you need some more.
4-day turnaround?
I can make it in 6, sir.
Make it 6 wagons. Then I'll have to see again how much I'll need.
Oh, that'll be fine.
I owe you $80 a load.
Yes, sir. It is fresh-cut alfalfa.
Chet nodded that he heard him and counted out $400 to hand to him.
Ooh, that's too much, sir. It was $80 a wagon load.
I saw the hay you brought me today. I'm paying you a bonus.
Well, thank you, sir. 6 days, we will have 6 loads here, sir.
Stay for supper. My wife has plenty of food, and you can get an early start.
We will, sir, and thanks so much.
Oh, good. See you shortly.
Earl wants to get several loads back to Prescott.
Good idea. I don't know who'd steal them out here, but yes, I am ready for Prescott's cool breezes.
You can go back with him.
She cut her eyes around sharply at him.
You aren't getting away from me that easy.
I wasn't trying. How'd the ruby picking go?
Nearly double of what you brought back from the other place.
Who'd ever believe that?
I do. I carried 1 pail with 2 hands to our bank. Oh, Jamie Meadows needs to talk to you.
Fine, but I have no answer for him.
I don't know what he wants.
I can handle it.
They parted, and he found Jamie finishing washing up. The two sauntered off to talk beyond the others, cleaning up for supper.
Chet, I may be a little sturdier now than I was earlier. I helped them load, and I want to thank you for all you've done for us. And the families appreciate all you did, too. I appreciate all you've tried to do solving the murders, but it's kind of close for my part. There were no Indians going to tell us who was there that day. I even don't care. We never knew they'd been scalped. But even more so, I don't really feel like coming back here and driving those cows back home. It'd take me 6 months, and I'd hate even looking at them by then. I'd like to give them to the 2 men and their 4 women.
The Drifters, Mason Cry?
Yeah. They have kids and nowhere else to go. They've done their part. They aren't my kind of people, but they ain't afraid of work. I know the family would do that.
You can tell who is married to who now anyway.
And I've been dreading that drive back home.
Let's see after supper what they want to do.
Thanks.
In bed later with his wife, Chet explained what Jamie did.
I think I see why. He came to find some peace, didn't he?
And in the end, they showed him they cared.
4 trunks per wagon was enough for each team to haul back to Prescott. Chet and Earl reached that agreement after loading the first one. The trestle worked well, and Adam showed Earl all the bolt holes in their flat car's topside rim that he and Rocky left after unbolting the box from it. 22 wagons were loaded, and they hardly looked like they'd made a dent in the numbers of trunks still resting on the cavern floor. They'd leave in the morning to go back. Barrels of water and sacks of grain were in one wagon, and in another, camping gear and food. There was one spare wagon, just in case. Earl didn't want that much loot simply waiting alongside those desolate stretches of road for another wagon to get there to pick it up. Jamie had all the papers that he'd need to switch the ranch over to the settlers. They'd get them back in the mail sent to Joseph Lake. They all hugged him one at a time before he rode off. Chet promised him his share when it was settled.
You don't owe me anything, Chet Burns.
Listen, I owe you. It'll come to you.
I wish my brother had lived to really know you. You two came from the same past world. He'd have made it big up here, too.
A week later, wagon train number two arrived at Three Sisters Buttes. A rancher Chet knew climbed down along with a woman he recognized, Kurt Baker and his wife, Adeline. They ranched south of Prescott.
Howdy, Chet. Tom says you have worlds of stuff to haul back. I visited with Earl, who was going south on the Navajo Trail a few days ago. This Spanish treasure business is sure treating you all right.
Keep me busy anyway.
Tom said your sons and daughter are even up here this summer with you.
I have two sons, Adam and Rocky, and the judge asked us to consider adopting a girl who lost her parents. Rani's a very nice young lady. You may have heard that she won the novice race at the fairgrounds recently.
Oh, we missed that one. Though I recall someone saying you didn't have a daughter.
I do. And she and the boys are around here somewhere. Earl showed you the treasure we're hauling back?
Yeah, there's a lot more of it, he said.
Yes, there is. My concern is someone will learn all about it and try to rob the train.
Oh, I definitely have some tough men with me, but like you said, it would be a concern. There is only one route in and out. I'd been to Utah a time or two. Hasn't gotten any better. How in the hell did you find this one?
We first discovered a cavern on the north wall of the Grand Canyon. The men took ropes and went off there to investigate it. It was about 30 feet down and thousands more feet of air under that. The Spanish had hidden three men in that cave and all the treasures they must have had. No one ever came back for them. The Indians may have gotten the outside force. Those men left notes. We recovered a pail of rubies in that cave, and there was some interest in them. A man in Mesa offered to sell me a map to this spot here, because he had become injured after finding some rubies on this site and could not get back up here. Instead, we found these trunks inside the caved-in cavern. We have not found any letters in these trunks, and only later did we find the rubies.
Ooh, you have been digging it up. But why was it hidden out here?
Another question with no answer. Lots of this loot comes in minted coins. Our first find was raw gold and gold bars.
After coffee in the tent with Lisa, Chet and Kurt went up and looked at the cavern in the trestle.
You built this?
Yeah.
My lands. Whew, had it been up to me, all that would still be down there.
Invention sometimes is necessary. I could improve on it now, but it worked smoothly the first time. I figured that the face of this cave was once open to the south, and they had all this stored in here. Maybe an earthquake shook the front portion down, and the men who brought it in there were buried. We found an air leak back here, widened it all we dared, drilling and blasting. We don't spend a lot of time in here since we finished the delivery system.
I don't blame you.
You and your men rest a day or two, and then we can load you up for the trip down.
You earn this treasure, Chet Burns. There'll be two more trips coming, won't there?
Earl thought five in total.
I know. He brought an empty wagon out in case he had a breakdown.
I won't object to you doing that.
Odds go up the more trips you make, don't they?
More outlaws to know about them, too.
Oh, most outlaws hate robberies like this. They have to have a way to pack it off. Money is light.
Yeah, paper money and notes are easy to handle. But one of these chunks could be worth a lot more than some small-town bank's total deposits.
Oh, damned if you do or don't. I bet you and Lisa are ready to head home.
The ranches are in good hands. We are surviving.
I met Jamie Meadows. That was a shame.
We met the family he lost and really liked them. He gifted those other folks because he didn't have it in him to drive those cattle back home.
Tough enough dragging this loot back. That isn't cow country going south. He said his brother was a larger adventurer than he was.
He must have been.
What do you think this strip of country is ever going to be good for?
Raising lizards and rattlesnakes, I told my wife.
In 2 days, Kirk, his wife, and his bunch left for Prescott with one empty wagon, two others for supplies and water, and the others filled with trunks. Things went smoothly. Chad had offered for Jesus to go back home with that last wagon train. His man shook his head and sent his wife a long letter via the train. Chad ordered more hay, and they hauled in more water. Rocky got to drive the mules to town empty, and they filled the water wagon from an artesian well. Salty drove it back, full or near that. Chet and the others rode on horseback. Trip took all day. Rennie stayed with Lisa, and they mended clothes. Coming home that day with the water wagon, the riders ran for the tent when they got close because a monsoon shower turned up. They barely beat it to the site, and from the dry tent, laughed at a water-soaked Salty and his umbrella. 10 days later, Earl, his men, and the wagons were back.
Mr. Tanner at the bank ain't sure where he will park all this. We are fast filling his vaults, but he says not to stop bringing it. Oh, yeah. Those coins were minted in Mexico before 1800. Some ruler, perhaps a governor, may have stolen them.
Finders keepers, losers weepers.
No one has claimed them, and they can't believe anyone found them.
Hey, you hear Rocky shot an albino mule deer? Nice rack. I never saw one of those in my life.
Me neither. Bet he's proud.
Busting buttons. We rode up to a small lake and caught lots of large trout.
How far away is it?
One day up there and one day back. I didn't see a sign of anyone ever being up there, but the storekeeper at Joseph Lake told us where it was at.
You ever fish up in the Apache country?
Good fishing. They don't eat them.
Yeah, man. Ooh, wonderful fishing. Well, 2 days and we go back. No trouble on my part, and Kurt got along good, too. He was near the Flagstaff when we met him.
Everything's holding together down there?
Now, as far as I know, yeah. Tom said it was the smoothest summer he could ever recall. Oh, yeah. Millie said to tell you Bonnie had another boy down on the Diablo Ranch. That makes 4 kids now.
She didn't plan to have that many when she married my nephew, J.D.
Time changes things.
It really does.
Later, Chet reported to his wife about the number 4 baby at Rancho Diablo.
I'm really losing that race.
I don't feel like we've missed that much. We travel and enjoy at this rate. We'll be back home by September.
Well, I am sure not pregnant.
She looked around to be certain they were alone.
Our girl found out about Eve's curse.
This early?
She'll be 13 soon. Many girls start earlier.
I didn't want her to grow up.
I can tell you one thing. She's not stupid, badly spoiled, or as crazy as I was at that age.
Good.
I agree. And she talks to me, which I appreciate.
I hope that this business continues as smoothly as it has. But I'll be glad to be back on our mountain.
Me too. But you have done a super job managing things. The showers, the tent, horse feed, and the meals Tad serves. And the lack of problems.
Good people who've worked hard.
You know who I think are the largest winners?
Who?
The girl and your 2 boys. They've learned how to work and play. I really think this summer will pay off in making them better adults.
They'll be better adults.
She looped her arm in his elbow.
Let's go to bed.
Amen.
Earl and his crew left for Prescott, and the cavern had begun to look half empty. In 3 more weeks, maybe 4, Chet felt they'd complete the job. The last train would be headed for Prescott, and Chet's summer work would be done. Salty had been scouting with Billy Bob in new places every time he found a chance to go look. Chet and Jesus made shorter circles, but nothing showed up to interest them, nor were there rumors to run down. Kurt and his wife arrived back with their wagon train for another load. Rested a day, thanked Chet, and then took 22 more wagon loads of loot and were southbound. Things were fairly quiet among the original crew. Some men from the Dixie branch of the LDS Church came one afternoon and visited with Chet. Oliver Pettigrew was the highest-ranking man in their group. He asked Chet if he wanted to consider investing in ranching there. His expenditures had certainly been welcome in the area. Chet thanked him and said he had no plans to do that. Pettigrew then asked if not, would he get them connected to a telegraph line from Flagstaff up to Kanab in Utah?
I am much better at herding cattle. But you could go south yourself and speak to Cole Emerson, who's heading that business across the northern Arizona line.
We understand he was formerly one of your foremen.
Yes, he was. But he works for the stage line, the railroad line, and telegraph now.
Will he talk to us?
If it would make the railroad money, yes.
Fair enough. So how much Spanish treasure did you recover here, if I might ask?
I'll be flat honest with you, gentlemen. I have no idea. We loaded it up and sent it down to Prescott.
Compared to the Grand Canyon cave site we heard about?
Maybe twice as much. We had more gold bars in that recovery.
I must say, few outsiders come in, hire our people, buy from us at reasonable prices, and get along as well as you and your men, sir.
You come by my home place on top of the Mingus Mountainside of the Verde. I'll sure feed and host you at my house.
Very generous of you to offer.
They parted. Getting a telegraph wire connected to the one at Flagstaff might make a good connection for Cole to add. But that was Cole's business, not Chet's. In another week, the last wagon train arrived at Ruby Buttes, his men's new name for the structure. They loaded 19 wagons. Chet considered dismantling the showers since they had room in the empty wagons, and they did that. No one wanted the water wagon and mules. Salty was to drive it back down to Arizona. The cooking stoves, tables, chairs, silverware, and Lisa's huge tent were all loaded. Chet thanked everyone, then gave a short prayer, thanking God and asking for protection going home. He, Lisa, and his kids, as he called them, saddled and left the region at daylight. It took a day and a half to get to Lee's Ferry and a half day to get every rig across the wide Colorado. Day five, they crossed on the Little Colorado ferry, and he had everyone ready for some trouble in camp. None happened. 3 more days on the Navajo Trail, and Valerie, with 3 railroad policemen on horseback, met them a half day east of Flagstaff. Her son, Rocky, rode out to greet her, and the 2 other kids went with him. Lisa and Chet joined them. Chet waved the wagon train on and said they'd camp at the ranch property ahead. He didn't see a dry eye when his son dropped out of the saddle and hugged Val.
Oh, he's grown a foot this summer.
Maybe more than that. He drove those mules with the water wagon and made a great hand. He had lots of fun. I want you and him at the fairground first Sunday in September.
What for?
Rocky, Adam, and Rennie are all going to be in one race to see who the best is.
What horses will we use?
That's up to the riders. You take care of Al, son. I'll see you in camp tonight.
It's been the best damn summer in my entire life.
He stepped back and saluted Chet. The cool afternoon air swept Chet's face as he was coming up the new hacked-out road to the ranch's yard and houses above Flagstaff. Survey stakes with ribbons tied on were where the roads would someday sprout off. The air reeked of pine sap, and he felt at home. A monsoonal pile of clouds swept in overhead, and they raced to the property to get set up. But to their shock, a large tent set up awaited them and a note. Glad you made it back, Cole and Val. They unsaddled, and one of the hands took their horses as the rain began. Thunder rolled across the mountain peaks, secured in the billowing storm clouds. For Chet, it was good to be there. The others would come in under slickers, but the drop in temperatures felt great. He didn't miss the strip's hot temps one little bit. He'd be home in 2 days and could pick up the pieces from there. How much did he have that they brought back? No telling. It would all help the ranches he was building on. They'd been up there for the bulk of the summer, but he wouldn't trade the time he got to spend with Lisa, his boys, and Rennie for another king's ransom. Some spy must have told Cole they'd arrived. He swept off his wet hat and hugged Lisa, shook hands with the boys, and hugged Rennie.
I see those boys didn't kill you, Missy.
No way I'd let them do that.
Tanner showed me some of it. My lands, there is a lot of it. Anyone bother you?
Not to speak of.
Well, you people are the talk of the territory, and no one knows how much money you got from up there.
I can't help them. They had a cave in it sometime, and I guess the answer is under tons of rock and dirt.
You mean you left some up there?
Lisa, give him those rocks we picked out for him.
You remembered me?
Who could forget you?
Heck, they are big ones. Thank you.
How's business?
Terrific.
Be careful. Cosby will have you in New Mexico laying track.
Phew, he plans to have 3 more wires strung before the snow flies. I told him he had to have it up before then.
I'm going back up to my mountain shortly. I appreciate you loaning me the boy. He's a mule skinner now.
He wrote me several letters and told me how much rope you gave him. They had a great summer.
So did we. And thanks, we really got to know the 3 of them. I'm helping Tad fix supper. Oh, Salty said he'd be back in the morning. He's gone to see his wife. And Jesus is napping.
I told his wife and I thought you'd be down here.
He's fine. I just wanted both of you to know.
Well, Chet, what next?
Check on my ranches, I guess?
I think you may lose Spencer permanent. And we'll have more line expansion for him to string up.
Utah wants to connect. I told them to come see you.
Wonderful. Then I'll get the credit for the line.
I'll find Fred, an older man, to help him run the wagon wheel. Have they gone back to more track laying?
Slow. Shortage of everything.
At that, Cole excused himself to go back to work. Chet went and lay down on a cot and napped. Lisa woke him at supper time. The wagon train had made it in. No trouble. Good. They took another day's rest at Flagstaff, a combination of worn out and at ease about being in a safe place. Robert heard about them being up there and came to see Chet.
Things going all right at the mill?
Usual things. Lost a horse last week when a log pile rolled over on him. Wasn't a mistake, just an unfortunate accident. We're making our quota. No one's complaining that I hear.
Last statement I saw was fine.
We have really hauled a lot of logs to the mill. They have 3 shifts running now. That's the Flagstaff expansion. I figure that will back off, but I've still not heard a train whistle.
It'll be years getting here. Everyone is building tracks and can't get something they need.
I'd like to have some jewelry made for my wife. If you have any, I could get set.
Chet took a tobacco sack out and held it over Robert's palm, spilling some rubies into it.
Try these.
Wow, those are big. What do I owe you?
Just keep things running. That's our Christmas bonus.
I can damn sure do that. I can't believe all you've found.
To be very frank with you, neither can I. But our treasure searches are over for now.
Those boys of yours are really growing. But who's that girl with them?
Rennie. Her parents died, so the judge asked Lisa and me to take her and see if she liked us and we liked her. The feelings are mutual. She's at a ball with those boys and can beat them at many things.
This is the first summer you ran off with them, isn't it?
Yes, and we'll probably do it again.
I better get back to the mill. I never expected rubies that big. Thanks.
I never expected a superintendent as good as you are either.
Chet clapped him on the shoulder. Robert was blushing and shaking his head over his praise. Good. He deserved it.
Nice of him to come by. He could have stayed for lunch.
No, he's pretty fussy about his job.
Someday you will be famous, and others will come and steal all of your supermen.
Took a railroad president to steal coal.
That's what I mean.
He said grace, that was what they waited on, and he announced they'd go south in the morning. When lunch was over, Lisa rushed off to get something as Rennie sidled up to Chet.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure, what did I do wrong?
Nothing, but the boys said I should ask you. They weren't that brave.
What is it?
When can we get together again? I mean, the 3 of us.
I don't have a calendar with me.
They mentioned the county fair meeting for the race.
Yes, I told them we'd do it then.
Chet, 2 more things I want to clear with you. You know, I don't have a father, but I'd like to call you my dad if it won't make you mad.
He hugged her to him.
I would be proud to be your dad.
Those 2 said that you would say that. I appreciate it more than I can even say. When Lisa said the boys were coming along on this trip, well, I about panicked. I never had to share anything in my life. But it was the greatest summer of my lifetime. I'll be ready to go in the morning and ride at the head of the parade going south. Dad.
Hell, he liked the sound of that. 2 days later, they were at the Verde and ready to leave, and Chet saw Rennie and Adam to the side talking. He booted his horse over there.
Hey, it's time we went home, girl.
Coming, Dad.
Adam, see you part.
Hey, both Rocky and I think she's great.
I agree. Now, get in the saddle and let's go.
When he joined Lisa at the head of the train, she was laughing.
I thought she might want to stay down here.
Not yet.
Who's going to win her?
Damned if I know.
They both rode on, laughing, and Chet waving for the train to follow him, finally, back home. Chet Burns knew they'd swarm him first time he went to town. Everyone who saw him would want to shake his hand and borrow his money. But with Vic riding shotgun and Lisa beside him, they drove to town. They left her at the dress shop and went to Bo's. He locked the door and twisted the closed for business sign around toward the outside. The onlookers' noses were pressed to the glass.
From all the rumors and Tanner having guards 24/7 at the bank, you must have done well.
Over 40 steamer trunks full of money. Most was money that was made before 1800.
How in the hell did it get up there?
I have no damn idea.
It's not at some crossroads?
No, nor any waterhole, nor rich farmland, or in a grove of timber-sized logs.
When I heard you'd found another treasure trove, I screamed that SOB knew where it was all the time.
No way. I showed you the ruby map I bought from the man over in Mesa when we bought the East Ranch. But I had no idea that under that mountain, they'd left a fortune in treasure.
Of course, if a poor man had found it, he'd not have the money to guard it and get it hauled down here.
Oh, that much? Someone smart could have worked it out secret-like.
I doubt it. Well, what comes next?
I want to check on all the ranches and get ready for fall and winter.
Not such a tough job with the help like you have. If I owned a ranch and didn't know a damn thing about it, I'd sure want your help.
Bo pointed to the windows crowded with onlookers.
You are really in for it now.
They'll get tired of it after a while.
I miss having a nice, quiet meeting with you.
No deals today?
No, but I get a real one, I'll drive out there and tell you all about it.
Thanks, Bo. See ya.
Vic drove up to meet Chet at Bo's back door. Chet nodded to him, jumped on the spring seat, and they were off. His man cut up the alley, stopping at the back door of the bank. Chet got off, checked his pocket watch, and told him to be back in 30 minutes. Then he beat three times on the metal door. It swung open, Chet went inside, and they closed the door. Tanner came back to get him. Trunks were stacked higher than their heads. They scooted sideways down the hall crowded with trunks and went into his office. With a sigh of relief, Tanner stood with his back to the door.
Banking can be hell on days like this.
Problems?
I'm not used to having this many trunks stacked in my bank. We are emptying them. I don't want you to think I'm complaining, but how did they get to where you found them and why?
Other than a robbery? I have no idea. And I think all a mule could pack was one.
I bet we never find out anything more than we know now. One of the haulers said the cavern had a number of skeletons, correct?
Yes. They all didn't ride away from there. I looked at the front of that mountain and decided it had caved in, buried under tons of rock and dirt. We went around and found a place with an opening in back and blasted open a hole. My two boys and adopted daughter climbed through, and then we had to let them down about 12 feet to the floor inside.
Were they scared?
Those three would have taken on anything. Told me it was a bunch of dusty old trunks. We bored holes in the rock wall and blasted our way in. We worried we did much more and might collapse the roof into the cavern. I built a trestle to roll an old mine cart in to get the trunks from the floor to the hole in the wall and out to be loaded into wagons. Each trunk required 5 to 6 men to load it.
I heard about that structure you built to get them up and out to the wagons.
My friend Lincoln at the store up there gave us an old rusty mine cart. We took off the barrel and made it a flat car and used the wood for the tracks. We were careful. It was all we had.
There may be half to 3/4 of $1 million here.
I knew he had lots. I have to go to Mesa and pay the man for the rubies we found. He's crippled and in bad shape, according to my man Billy Bob, who struck the deal. Thought 40,000 would be plenty.
Bet he would be pleased.
Chet agreed. He might get Jesus and Billy Bob and go find this Urshel Greystone. His wife's name was Jennifer, and Billy Bob knew where they lived in Mesa. Chet drew out $40,000 and had one of the tellers wrap it in newspaper and tie it with string. The clerk used several big bills in 500 and 1,000 denominations, so the package didn't look so big. Chet shook Tanner's hand and prepared to go back to the ranch. Out in the alley, Chet put the package of cash in the box with the groceries under the seat and nodded to his guard that he was ready to go pick up his wife. Several people tried to wave him down when they recognized who it was in the buckboard going to the dress shop. Chet didn't talk much about anything concerning the treasure in public. Lisa loaded her things, and they went to the ranch with no problem. He told Vic to send word to Billy Bob down at the Verde that in 2 days, he needed to make a trip with him and Jesus to Mesa. He'd know what that was about. Lisa heard him and nodded. At the house and alone, he told her what he planned to do about the Greystone deal. She agreed.